Our lesson for this evening is taken from the Gospel of St. John, the 11th chapter, beginning with verse 21, and we rise to hear these words in our Lord's name. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Not too many years ago, right out on Highway 14 in the little town of Nicollet, there was a horrific car accident. An elderly woman was hit by a large semi-truck and killed instantly at an intersection in the town there. It happened to be right at the intersection where there is a Lutheran church. And a Christian woman who was inside of that church heard this horrible accident and came running out and found this elderly woman, now dead, sitting in the driver's seat. And while they waited for the paramedics and ambulance and police to arrive, this woman jumped into the passenger seat of the car and sat next to this deceased woman and put her hand in hers and began saying prayers for her family, knowing how horrible the news was going to be that they would hear in just a matter of minutes. The Bible talks about the sting of death, and when we hear stories like that and think about people having to be told of a loved one who died, we get a little bit of a taste of what that means about the sting of death. And I often wonder, who will be the person that finds me when I've breathed my last? Will it be my spouse? Will it be one of my children or grandchildren? Will it be a highway patrolman, a nurse? We just don't know. Mary and Martha were concerned about this moment coming in their brother Lazarus's life, and that's why they had sent word days earlier to Jesus to come, knowing that he, as the divine Son of God, had the power and authority to stave off death and to heal their brother of any illness that might threaten his life. And they were concerned about, at that time, the sting of death, I'm sure, that they would have to feel. But our Lord lets it all pass and lets Lazarus leave this life. I'm sure that was very hard for them as family members to suddenly watch that. Back in those days, you took care of embalming the body yourself, typically right in your home. It's quite a scene. In Europe, in the Middle Ages, during the time of the Black Death, the plague that came through, it was customary to often ring the bells when someone in your village died, but the families got so sick of hearing the bells ringing constantly because so many were dying in all the homes around them that they finally asked that the church stop ringing the bells because they just couldn't take it anymore. It was becoming depressing for their children and overwhelming to have to deal with this much death all of the time. It's really a challenging thing for us, and yet a realistic thing, waiting for death to take hold in our families. Talk about the sting of death. And we imagine this family of the sisters, Mary and Martha, now in their grief, as Jesus and his disciples arrive, but now a few days too late. Jesus had been reached with their request a few days earlier to come, but he very much deliberately had chosen not to go. Listen to what it says. Jesus said this to his disciples when he heard that Lazarus was on his deathbed. "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now, it's almost like an assassin who sets up very intentionally his kill of the enemy. Our Lord Jesus says in the scriptures, "Death, I will be your death." He very intentionally sets up this scene using this family of these two sisters and brother, and he uses this man's death as an opportunity to give glory to his heavenly Father, since he shares a substance with God the Father. It's as if he is saying, "I'm going to give death a two-day head start on me, and I'm still going to defeat it. I'm going to give death an opportunity to even start to produce a possible stench around this man's grave, and I'm still going to have mastery over it." And so Jesus says these beautiful words, very familiar to us, to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life." And I love these words. He doesn't simply say to her, "I am able to perform a resurrection," which would have been true. He doesn't say to her, "I am able to even raise up myself someday after I die," which certainly would have been true. But he says very specifically in the present tense, "I am the resurrection and the life." In the same way that Christ is truth, in the same way that Christ is life, in the same way that Christ is the very Son of God himself, he says, "I am resurrection. I am resurrection." Dr. Johannes Ilvesacker, the father of the man we've named our building after, wrote this in one of his commentaries. He says, "With these words, Jesus would lift Martha to the highest rung on the ladder of faith." I love that. Lift her to the highest rung on the ladder of faith. "He is the source and the power to whom resurrection is inseparably bound." That's why he says, "I am the resurrection." The very one who stands here speaking to Martha in our text, who is the very word itself that brought about the creation of the world from nothing, from absolutely nothing. That same powerful Son of God now stands and speaks to this grieving sister and says, "I am resurrection. I am the resurrection." And then he says, "He who believes in me, the very essence and source of all true life, whoever believes in me, even though he dies, yet he shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." What an amazing and wonderful connection, and what power is given to faith. That tiny little thing that ticks inside of your soul that loves Christ, that appreciates him dying on the cross to pay for your sins, that grabs onto him and realizes you need him as a Savior, that tiny little activity that inside of your heart sometimes is so weak that we wonder if it's even there, and yet even the tiniest spark of faith, by faith, is connected to the source of all resurrection and all life. And that tiny thing inside of you that God himself has to create and has created, that tiny little activity in your heart is all it takes to beat your death. So Jesus has taken this awful sting of death that's in the world, and for those of us who trust in him, he has made it like a gnat. Amen.